Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 188. I really do feel sorry for the folks who had to grow up in a big city environment. While I'm sure they had their friends, it was a far cry from the lifestyle I enjoyed being part of a small community. An absence of traffic lights to stop vehicles and a lack of traffic noise, other than a few teens dragging mane late in the evening, are some highlights of an earlier Bandera. The local law enforcement was able to have late coffee breaks at the OST without interruptions on most nights during the week. Of course, there was always a chance that some bored kid might decide to take a ride down Main Street on a go-kart and do a donut in front of the restaurant just to cause some excitement. That rarely caused any pursuit and certainly didn't break up any conversations going on in the cafe. Weekends were somewhat busier as the town came alive when the local nightclubs held their Saturday night dances. For the younger generation, Friday nights meant high school football game night, and Saturday evenings were usually spent at the Bantex Theater. Sunday was church, a fried chicken meal, and Dallas Cowboys game day. Monday night football wasn't invented yet. Just as well, because I'm pretty sure my mom would not have allowed us to stay up on a school night to watch a football game anyway, not even if it was the Dallas Cowboy game. Our summers when we were young and out of school for summer vacation were consumed by spending as much time as possible on the river. Without a doubt, that is my favorite childhood memory with friends. It was sometimes interrupted by my mom and her seemingly endless list of chores. I will admit some mornings sneaking off to the river to avoid those tasks, but when I heard our old truck coming with the horn blowing, you better believe I came running. Sorry, Mom, I forgot. I still enjoy sitting on the front porch in the evenings as the light of day fades. When there is a nice breeze blowing, I will stay a little longer than normal. It reminds me of a time when we could go sit on the front porch swing at home, or until Mom would make us come into the house. Growing up in Bandera back in the day was something that was both simple and special.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 189. I have been an avid collector of antique fishing tackle for about 35 years. Being a fisherman since early childhood, I guess it was a hobby I was naturally drawn to as an adult. Over time, the collection got out of hand and grew from a small tackle box to a display case, and then to many more display cases. That soon gave way to a portable building full of everything to do with fishing from the late 1800s to modern bass fishing needs. I never intended to collect anything other than lures, but at one point I had hundreds of reels. In recent years, I've tried to downsize in an effort to regain control of some much-needed storage and living space. I have found there are certain things I can pretty much give away, while others will be making the trip with me into the afterlife. Those scheduled for the long haul include items of sentimental value and others that are so unique, I just can't bear to part with them. Like other antique collectibles, some lures have lost value over the last few decades, and I will just tough it out in an attempt to wait for a recovery period for values. Sentimental value is one that is almost impossible to overcome. Lures given to me by my grandkids and other family members rate very high. My wife became knowledgeable and added to the collection over the years, too. Ones given by friends and co-workers also have a special place and would leave a void not only in my collection, but in my heart if I were to part with them. Too many of those friends have now passed away, and the lure serves as a reminder of the friendship we had. The walls and shelves in my computer room are adorned with a healthy array of fishing items and other keepsakes. I have quite a few jars of varying sizes filled with marbles because of my friendship with Angel Martinez back in the day. I understand that his family still has some marbles that were his. Maybe they include some he won from me playing keepsies on the field below St. Joseph's School. Just knowing that it's possible is a nice thought. Also, a mounted bass that was my first one over 10 pounds. I have been fortunate in my growing up in Bandera life to have caught probably more than my share of bass over that weight, but vowed to never keep another from mounting. I now use a camera for keeping a fish memory alive. A pinewood derby card from my Cub Scout days, preserved by my mom. A special lure presented to me during a skate park fundraiser, made possible by Byron Boyd, and a few others, serves as a reminder of what love and dedication can accomplish. A wide range of items covering a lifetime tells me my collecting days may not be over just yet.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 190. No matter how many times I see the ambulance pulling out of the EMS bar, as I've heard it called, I will always see that building as the Bandera Locker Plant. Across Main Street, from where I can visualize that small white house where once I lived, a girl who broke my heart many times before, I finally convinced her I was the right guy for her. If only she could have seen our future with grandkids and great-grandkids, maybe she would have taken it easier on me. I think after 53 years of marriage, she's going to keep me. Sonic now has taken over that spot, but not in my mind's eye. The jobs available in Bandera back in the day weren't offering much in the way of a meaningful career opportunity, especially for someone like me who had no ambition to go to college. I was glad to finish high school and was thinking I might never have to sit in a classroom again. The years ahead would prove how wrong I was about that thought. I was accepted into the Plumbers and Pipe Fitters Apprenticeship School in San Antonio just about a month after graduation. Back to class I went. 5 more years of schooling interrupted only by my stint in the U.S. Army, where once again, yes, you guessed it, I went to school. Then as my professional career continued, so did the training. It has even popped up a few times in my retirement years. The out-of-school education I received here in the country helped prepare me for the hard life of construction work, but failed in preparing this country boy for the ways of big city living. Now, after all the experiences I have endured over the years, I sit here in our little town looking over my shoulder at a big city that is closing in fast. Gone forever are the carefree days of a shoeless kid running the banks of the Medina River around Bandera. That shirtless kid riding his bicycle while doing errands for his mom and never once getting run out of a store with a demand to put a shirt on is a fleeting memory. He rode that bike all over God's creation here in the cowboy capital of the world, and his greatest fear at the time was having a flat or getting chased by a loose dog. Those were the best of times while I was growing up in Bandera.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 191. Global warming has once again reared its ugly head in our little town, or as we like to call it, South Texas tubing and watermelon eating season. Due to our advanced age, my wife and I no longer chance getting naked and throwing ice water to cool down here at the house. And there's always a chance the grandkids might drop in. Back in the day, when teen boys were roaming around the countryside, it wasn't unusual for a skinny dipping session to pop up at any given time. The sight of any body of water, regardless of the size, could trigger a swimming adventure when bathing suits weren't readily available. Creeks, stock tanks, or water troughs would work when there weren't any at the river. I do recall a couple of times when late at night the pool behind the Frontier Hotel in town was used. Most of the time, the Purple Cow crowd was too far into the night's activities to even take notice. But now there was one time I heard about. Drunk cowboys in boots are no match for barefoot kids when it comes to speed. As younger boys, we tried to avoid the swing area on the river when older guys were swimming there. We didn't want to end up skinny dipping in an effort to retrieve our shorts, which had been anchored with a rock and thrown into the river. By the end of summer, I could dive deeper than any turtle you ever saw. My wife and I are recently talking about the first new car we bought in 1966. It didn't have air conditioning, but it had a good radio, so we could listen to all the great music we had back in the day. Our first car with AC was a Dodge Challenger we bought in early 1971. The vehicles now we drive have cooling systems so advanced you could hang meat in them. All those years of school here in Bandera with no air conditioning in the classrooms must have been miserable at times, but I truly don't recall it being a hardship. I do remember going to the library in high school during study periods because it was air conditioned. Just don't ask me to name any title of a book I checked out. I have enjoyed many long friendships as my growing up in Bandera life has played out. One of the longest is with our family friend, Margaret Davenport Lovelace, who I've known since the first grade. The Davenport name has been around Bandera about as long as the Clarks and the Kinlas, who were my ancestors. Our families still maintain a close relationship as we grow and continue to make history. Sadly, it is history that no longer includes skinny dipping for me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 192. Thinking back to the TV shows we watched as kids, I recall most of my favorites were westerns. Roy Rogers, Lone Ranger, Hopalong Cassidy and the like. There were favorite cartoon shows as well. One show that has withstood the changing taste through the decades is the Mickey Mouse Show. I watched it, and so did my son and my grandkids. Now my great-grandson is a Mick-Mick, as he calls it, fan. Thinking back, I realized my only interest in watching that show decades ago was probably to see Annette Funicello. Fess Parker in the Davy Crockett TV series was a must-watch favorite because his adventures usually always took place on a river or in the woods. That made it easy for me to pretend I was Davy as I roamed the banks of the Medina River around Bandera. There was plenty of wilderness available, too, back in the day. I always wanted one of those coonskin caps and an old Betsy rifle, but here I am, a couple of years past 70 and still wishing. As young boys, we had our own version of the Davy Crockett theme song, but like most of our songs we sang back then, it isn't suitable for print. Audie Murphy cowboy and war movies were popular at the Bantex Theater that inspired me back in my younger days. We had an empty lot near our home which had an adequate supply of black wasp nests in the Hulsach bushes where we could wage war on the enemy. We dug a few foxholes and the wasps proved to be worthy adversaries. We launched mud-clod hand grenades, and they counterattacked like miniature kamikaze force that usually sent us running for home. If I was wounded in a battle and told my mom I'd been stung, she showed a little sympathy. "I told you to leave those wasps alone," my mom did not believe in awarding purple hearts. My current TV viewing is not unlike some of that early life stuff I watched. A lot of the Western miniseries and movies are still available daily, and I'm a faithful follower. It doesn't matter how many times I've seen some of those old cowboy flicks throughout my growing up in Bandera journey, I still prefer them to the modern menu of drama and fantasy.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
I often hear statements, mostly from the younger generation, about how things never change around Bandera. Well, let me clue you into a few changes I've seen taking place since my age offers me a loftier view of the past. The majority of the streets in town and cat ink roads were not paved back in the day. If you had stopped to ask directions while referring to a street name, I would have been as lost as you were back then. I can't recall when I became aware of the gravel street in front of our house having the 8th Street's name attached. It was simply the street leading me to the Martinez boys' home if I was looking for a baseball game or the Challenge of Keepsie's marbles. In the next block going south was the Mustang football field close to the swimming pool hole and just down the street from the bamboo light. On 11th Street at Cypress was the house across from the old funeral home where the Tucker boys lived. The little wood frame building that 11th Street Cowboy Bar now occupies was a barber shop sitting next to Pop's Bar and Grill. If you want to reference something that hasn't changed in that area, you can make a note about Stein's Clothiers. I'll call the little tin building out back that location the Cat House. A quick drive through the parking lot next door will explain. The name of the Bandera Ice House has remained for generations, but resembles little in appearances of what I remember as a youngster. It truly was an ice house, even before the time when my dad was delivering ice at a young age. As ice houses were later becoming known as convenience stores, we had the chuck wagon and pack saddle on the other end of town, too. Having been a service station attendant at the Phillips 66 and Free State Oil Company in Bandera during my teen years, I can assure you that the gas stations of today ain't your grandpa's service stations. If you don't believe me, then pull up to a pump and push the talk button and say, "Fill her up, please," like we did back in the day. Changes that used to take generations to happen seem to happen overnight right now. Make note of your present day growing up in Bandera, because tomorrow, when you wake up, it could be gone forever.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Growing Up in Bandera by Glenn Clark, number 194. There are always things involving music back in the early years of my Bandera raising. Live bands were plentiful in the area, with well-established businesses having regular dances every weekend. In addition, other places like Wharton's Dock, Mansfield Park, the Purple Cow, or the American Legion Hall would have some hometown talent picking and singing most of the time. Every bar and cafe around town had a jukebox loaded with the type of music suited for the venue. Jack Jones, who owned and loaded the jukeboxes with the 45 records, knew the OST needed a wider variety than the Silver Dollar. Hank Williams was the king downstairs in the Dollar, and Beach Boys were regular plays upstairs and across the main street in the cafe. Three songs for a quarter was the going rate back in the early 60s. Don't mess with the volume control was a strictly enforced rule which young folks tested repeatedly. If the jukebox played during a break for a live band, the bartender would turn the volume all the way down rather than unplugging it when the band started playing again. That way all the selections would play out and you had to insert money on the next break to start the music again. Around our home, we had a record player and Ray Price got more than a lion's share of playtime. My mom dubbed him Ray Baby, and anything around any of our family members or close friends today, you will hear that term still being used. Ernest Tubb ran a close second, as I recall. As kids, when we had friends over, we would set up in the living room and roll back the rug to dance on the hardwood floor. A variety of music was played from an ample supply of 45 records on hand. I recall a corner drugstore, where Shoebiz is now located, used to sell 45s, but I don't recall any albums. Maybe it was because I couldn't afford any of those big records, and I simply ignored them. Playing a 45 on a 33 or 78 setting was always part of the evening's entertainment. All of this music influence led to a lifelong love of traditional country music for me. For my son, who was exposed to it from the day one, it led to a love of all genres of music and a career as a disc jockey or radio personality as he prefers. Bandera has provided a career launching pad for some of my growing up Bandera friends, as well as others aspiring to keep the live music traditions alive.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Close, Growing Up in Bandera, number 195. I wonder how many of my classmates from the St. Joseph's Catholic School could still make a book cover out of a brown paper grocery bag. Do they still put book covers on books in school today? Do they still use hardcover books? Do they still have books in school, or is everything on computers and other modern gadgets? At the rate things are changing these days, maybe they will do away with education as we know it. Do you remember the big letters of the alphabet on our classrooms above the blackboards back in the day? I still remember when they replaced blackboards with green boards. Didn't stop me from calling them blackboards. The green ones seemed to be easier to clean, as I recall. Cleaning the erasers always turned into more than a simple job at St. Joseph's Catholic School. Usually a two-student task that would quickly turn into an eraser-throwing battle between two boys. We would begin cleaning by pounding the erasers on a wall at the back of the school, and things would escalate from there. By the time we got back to the classroom, we had chalk marks from head to toe due to the eraser throwing wars. Spreading sweeping compound on the old hardwood floors and then sweeping it up was a regular routine. Saving it for future use was required to keep the expenses down, I guess. Even today, when I get a whiff of that unique smell, it reminds me of the lack of janitors we had at St. Joseph's. Every day during school hours, the street in front of the school was blocked off with barricades. That duty was always assigned to two 8th grade boys. Bubba Montague and I were in charge of doing it during our last year at the school. When I reached high school, the only custodian work I remember doing was in ag class with Telvey Robbins, where we took care of cleaning the shop. Sweeping, mopping, and taking care out the trash was a daily routine. I know now that all these menial tasks were preparing me for the Army basic training when Uncle Sam called my number. I was truly amazed at the number of guys who lacked the basic house cleaning skills that I had acquired long ago while growing up in Bandera.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 196. Recently, during a conversation with James McGroarty, who is a lifelong friend and shared the same growing up neighborhood as the Clark kids, he made an observation about local people's varying perspectives on our changing town. As usual, he was addressing me as Polander because he knows my family tree all the way down to the roots, and knows it is a legitimate tag even for someone named Clark. He simply stated there is a big difference between being local and being native. It immediately hit me what he was talking about. It is not meant to be disrespectful to anyone, but merely pointing out there is a special attitude filled with pride when you've been here since day one. Local or native, almost everyone can agree that Bandera is a special place to live no matter when you arrive. My younger brother Eddie was present during this impromptu meeting of friends from back in the day, and he hadn't seen James in years, so it got real interesting, as it always does when you begin to relive those bygone days in Bandera. Names started popping up, and it was like someone reading from the pages of Who's Who of Bandera Notables. Sheriff R.B. Miller, Billy Clyde, and Clay Wright, Harold Jenkins, the Bandera Ice House, and Pat Boyle. All of those good-looking Missouri girls and their brother Stevie were connected to stories that came pouring out. Now, if an outsider had been listening in there, there may have been some doubt about some of those tales, but having lived and witnessed these things, I can at least vouch for most of them being in the neighborhood of the truth. For sure, the ones I was telling were totally accurate. Stories about Archie Blue and the Silver Dollar took up a good bit of the conversation, as they always do when Bandera talk is going on. Who would think such a small place could hold so many memories? Good times, foolish pranks, tragedies, and stories known only to folks who have a long history around here and were recalled. Even an incident where James' dad ran some of us out of the OST with a shotgun after an incident in the Dollar resurfaced later in the same evening. There is something special about reuniting with old friends from my growing up in Bandera journey, and the ones that go way back are the ones most satisfying. I'm looking forward to our next gathering, and maybe we will invite a few more friends to chime in. No tape recorders allowed.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.
Glenn Clark's Growing Up in Bandera, number 197. So you think I have a strong Texas accent? You wouldn't be the first person to point that out to me. I've traveled a bit around this old world, and it has been pointed out quite often during my travels. I was stationed in New Jersey while serving in the U.S. Army, and it took me a while to understand those people. I listened as slow as I talk, and boy, were they fast talkers. But let me tell you, that's where I learned what a real sub sandwich is, and we have nothing down here that even comes close in comparison. I even made it to New York City a couple of times, where folks were too busy to stop and chat, so as far as they knew, I would have spoken Chinese to them. Not sure what all the fuss is about in the Big Apple. We drove through Greenwich Village one evening, and there was a cop riding a horse. Finally, I found something I could relate to in the big city. This was back in the time of the hippie movement, and it was on full display. I was tempted to ask that cop if he'd ever been to Bandera. You just never know. I wonder if the Polish tourists detect a Texas accent, if some of our locals try out the language of my ancestors on our visitors. My granddaddy Kindler and great-uncle Phil Kindler sometimes spoke in Polish around us kids, but never offered to tell us what they were saying or to teach us other than a few words. I figured out long ago that we should be careful when using those fluke few words we picked up back then. It was something along the lines of the Martinez boys trying to teach me and Brother Eddie some Spanish. When it came to carny talk, like Pig Latin or Double Dutch, I did pretty good, thanks to Grunny and Johnny Richards. I'm thinking I might pass it on to my grandkids. Better yet, my great-grandkids. I spent a good bit of military service in Germany around some of the German workforce employed by our military. I didn't pick up too much of the language because they all spoke English. Nosch ein Bier bit was the first thing I learned, as well as most often used. I quite often come in contact with visitors who come to Bandera from around the world as I walk the streets. I have learned a universal language that is readily understood by everyone. A smile along with a howdy always gets me a smile in return as I go about growing up in Bandera life.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Growing Up in Bandera, written by Glenn Clark, narrated by Larry Haddad, and brought to you by the Bandera Prophet, Bandera County's online news source. Stay tuned for more.